Hayom hazeh Hashem lokecha mitzavcha la'asos et hachukim ha'ila b'samishpatim b'shamarta v'asisa osam b'chol lavcha b'chol nafshecha. Do all these mitzvahs with a lot of love and all your heart. So, as Hashem ha'amarta hayom liyos lecha le'elokim le'lechet b'rachav l'shmar chukosav mitzvosav mitzvotav l'shmar b'kolav. With Hashem you should go in His ways. V'Hashem ha'mircha Hayom, Hashem told you today, liyos lo la'am segul, to be a chosen nation, kasher diber lach v'lishmar kol mitzvotav. Hashem made you a chosen mitzvah to follow Him, like He told you, to keep His mitzvahs, u'letitcha elyon al kol ha'goyim, to be above all the goyim, asher asal u'tehillah l'shem u'teferes, to be for tehillah l'shem u'teferes, liyos am kadosh la'ashem okecha kasher diber, and to be a sanctified holy nation, like Hashem said. We are a chosen nation. I guess the question is chosen for what? What does it mean to be chosen? What does it mean to be Lios? What is it? Yon al kol hagoyim. Lios cham kadosh. Anam segula. What does this mean? What does it mean to be a chosen nation? I had a Talmud ask me a few months ago. He asked me a very simple question. He said, "My Lord, why is it fair that I was born into a yoke of 613 mitzvahs? Goyim just have 7. I never really got that choice. Why is that fair? Maybe I would have only wanted 7. Maybe I would have preferred to have gone out with only 7 mitzvahs and, you know, cut out 606 other ones. Why is it fair that I, without my free choice, was forced, coerced, to take more upon myself than less? You want to tell me everyone has 7 mitzvahs? Fine. That's the rule everyone has. Why is it fair that I should have forced upon myself without free choice? Why should I have to have that?" There are different answers to this question. I didn't tell him this answer, but the Medrash does mention the fact that all of our neshamas, what our sinim, all said nazir v'nishma, and therefore, I guess depending on how literally you take the measures, we all were kind of there. We all took it upon ourselves, and therefore, you know, you can't back out now because you took it upon yourself already. You did have that choice, so to speak. You might not remember it, but if you really committed, you really committed. However, the answer I gave to him was a different answer. I said to him, "You know, you're right. There's a good chance it's really not fair. There's a good chance it's just not fair. No one ever promised you life is fair." Then he shrugged his shoulders, lifted up his hand, didn't really articulate, say any words. He's like, you know, why is that a good answer? That's really what he implied. And I told him that I believe, told him what I believe, which is, I said to him, if you had the choice to allow your son to be a goy, would you want that to happen? If I told you halachically, you'd come up with a brand new creative system. That was interesting. I can tell you the details afterwards. Briefly, go marry a shivcha kananis. It might not be easy to find them. I don't know. You have to convince some goyish girl, instead of marrying you, to be your shivcha. You know, it's not that romantic, but I guess if she likes you enough, maybe she would do it. You can have children with them. They can be goyish children. If you wanted to do such, if you wanted to pull off such a move, you know, would you? Would you want to do that? Are you interested in doing it? He said to me, "No." I said, "Why are you consciously choosing to give your children the same unfair birth? They were born into the exact same unfair 613 mitzvot as you yourself just complained was unfair about you." He said, "Right, Horn, I really like the mitzvot. I wasn't complaining. I just want to know why it's fair." And I said, "I wasn't attacking you. I was just asking you why you would bring your children into an unfair life. Because I'm not sure." I said to him, "It's probably because, although it's unfair, the upsides outweigh the downsides. The pros offset the cons. The tremendous zchus and opportunity we have to be Hashem's am segula outweighs the fact that it's not that fair that we were born into it." That's what I told him. And he proceeded to ask, okay, Rabbi Horn, why does God now need an Am Segula? Why does Hashem have to choose a nation? What's wrong with everyone being equal? And I suggested to him an answer, which I saw a little bit written up by an article, in an article by David Berger. Really, it's a Ramban beforehand. And I think it's an important Hashkafic perspective on the world. Not the only one. I think the Maharal would probably disagree with it. Nonetheless, it's an important one. Hashem created a world and wanted man and woman, Adam and Chava alike, to recognize him, to listen to him, to appreciate who he was, to appreciate what it means to have a creator, and therefore to listen to his one commandment. Sadly and unfortunately, he did not, and therefore he was sent out of Gan Eden into the exile, into the world. Okay, maybe Gan Eden wasn't the right formula, wasn't the right environment, wasn't the right culture, wasn't the right, you know, place for Adam to be successful. So God sent him out and he said, okay, try it again. And unfortunately, Cain killed Hevel. That's called strike two. And again, God sent Cain to be a wanderer, Navanati Abarat. And sadly, again, strike three came about with Dor Noach, where the entire world was corrupt, unethical, immoral, full of theft, sexual promiscuity. Just bad, rotten people. And God pressed reset on the world and started again with the story of Dor HaFeh. The world continues until eventually strike four. I guess God doesn't have to play baseball. Strike four is when Dor HaFlaga failed. Here there was no sense of individuality. It was uniformity to an unhealthy degree. One language, one nation, one people, one everything, and the people, it got to their heads, and exactly what action they did wrong is a major machlokes amongst the mafarshim, but everyone agrees with both subjects, what the pasuk says, which is they tried to make for themselves a great name, na'aseh lanu shem. And again, God scattered them amongst the world, changed things up. Every time God changed up the rules a little bit, hopefully we would be able to properly recognize him as the creator. Okay, now you can have meat. Now take Shem, Mitzvah, Noach. Now have different languages. Now have different cultures. Now leave Gan Eden. Every single time a different change, a new element, new addition, a new dimension. Something to change it up a little bit, hopefully enable man to successfully discover God. And unfortunately, after five strikes, before the second banner was out, like a beacon of light, Avram Avinu began to ask philosophical questions and discover the truth. And not just develop the correct theology, the correct philosophy, the correct beliefs about God, but he started to preach them to the world. He developed the proper hashkafa, the proper ideology. He started converting people and encouraging people to think and to question and to find truth. He started keeping some of the mitzvot, all of them, some of them a major machlokas, but he lived a godly life. He began to represent the right values, and God said, kivayachal, as if he didn't see it coming beforehand. If I want man to recognize who I am, to find the truth, to crown me king, it cannot be that they're all going to have an equal responsibility, because although ideologically there may have been plan A, pragmatically it doesn't work, and therefore plan B is to choose a nation. God started the world without a particular chosen nation. It wasn't until man failed four or five times until God said, okay, this isn't working. Instead, let's have one or Lagoyim, so to speak. Let's have an Avram Avinu. And eventually, son Yitzchak, Yaakov, and the family. And Hashem decided, a family's great, but unless there's a long-term commitment, you're going to have Esavs and Yishmaels, people joining and people leaving. And therefore, Hashem said, what I want to do with this family is transform them into a nation and sign an agreement, a covenant, a bris, make a deal with them that I'll become their God and they become my nation. And again, not because ideally Hashem created the world with this in mind. At least according to the Ramban, I believe this is true. According to the Maharal, I think Hashem actually chose Avram from day one. But Avram stepped it up and became, out of his own sense of self, out of his own free choice, Avram became someone who Hashem respected, and therefore eventually signed a treaty, so to speak, signed a covenant, made a deal with his children, that it's our responsibility to act godly. We'll be his nation and he'll be our God. We'll represent his values in this world and he'll help us project them to the world. And together, as a team, we'll teach and inspire, educate the world of Hashem's ideology, morals, and ethics. That covenant was signed at Har Sinai. Hashem gave us a Torah, which is the guidelines of how we're supposed to act in order to do them. 613 mitzvahs is not how you live a moral life. To live a basic moral life requires 7 mitzvahs, may know. The other 612 help us become leaders, become an Am Segula, become an Am Hanivchar, become Hashem's chosen nation, become a nation who is with Tetchal Yoral Kol Hagoyim, Leos Cham Kadosh. Hashem requires more from us, not because Goyim Chas V'Shalom or less. It's not that we are more, it's that he requires more. We're, so to speak, the teacher's pet. We're, so to speak, the Bechor, Hashem's firstborn, so to speak, as the Chumash and Shmos writes. The Bechor is someone who's just like everybody else. He's not the parents. He's one of the kids. But he sets the tone. He serves as a role model. That's what the Navi calls us, and I'm sorry, the Navi calls us to be an Or LaGoyim. We're supposed to be a light upon the nations, showing them Hashem's values. Chosen for what? We're chosen to represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. Fair, it might not be fair. It's more of a responsibility because you didn't have the choice to do it. But worthwhile it certainly is. Because it's more of an opportunity than it is a responsibility. Fair it's not, but worthwhile it is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the tremendous chus. Baruch Elokeinu Shebaranu L'chvoda V'hivdi Lanu Minatayim V'nasan Lanu Taras Emes. Hashem separated us, made us different, gave us a unique role, which is inspiring the world. And you want to know what? If anyone's interested in joining us, they're more than welcome to. Not just they're welcome to keep the Shev Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. They're welcome to join us. That's called Gerus. We got to make sure they're serious. They got to really want it. That's called Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. Anyone who's interested in joining Hashem's special chosen nation, given a unique task, you're more than welcome to. And the last one I'll conclude with is a question. Is this idea politically correct? I don't know. But I believe that this is the idea of an Am Segula. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. Sefer Bereishis captures the story of the failures until Avram and the success and building from Avram on out. Maybe it's not politically correct because being a Jew is tier two. Goyim have a choice if they want to join or not join. You're stuck with it. Politically correct is not my point right here. My point is to try to uncover the ruts of HaTorah. What does Hashem mean? What does the Torah mean? When it tells us that we're the Am HaNivchar, the Am Segula, I think the answer is we're selected, Hashem's chosen nation, with a particular goal, particular mission to accomplish. To partner up with Hashem and help perfect the world, Tikkun Olam, to make the world the way God wants to see it, godly, moral, ethical, to help Hashem by serving as his role model nation, to inspire everyone around us to learn from his ways.